and welcome to a new episode of the Bleeding Metal Podcast. I am Kiki, your host. My pronouns are she, her, and today I am joined by our latest recruits.
I feel very recruited.
Yes, the latest additions to our team.
Hi, it's Martha. My pronouns are she, her.
Hi, I'm Susanna. My pronouns are also she, her.
And today we have a few interesting topics that touch the heart of the podcast as a whole, which is a little bit of feminism, but from very different perspectives, I think. But before we start talking about Bimbocore and what it is and where it comes from, I wanted to make a very short statement because it's been in the news just recently. For the people who are listening to Bleeding Metal for the first time and or haven't listened as long, we've been doing this since 2017. Haha. I, Kiki, come from Ecuador, from South America. And well, I was very infuriated a few days ago when I heard in the news that certain German states have prohibited the use of gender neutral and gender inclusive language in official documents. There are people working towards banning gender-neutral and inclusive language, which baffles me and angers me to the core because language is so important. And just a few days after hearing about that in the news, I heard that Argentina's new president is doing the same. And that reminds me of the politics that are present elsewhere in the world. If we look to the US, there are a lot of human rights that are being attacked. I see this as an attack to human rights, an attack on the evolution and growth that we were achieving as a society, to recognize that the world does not live in a binary, especially in a gender binary of only men and women. And that is something that was starting to change and that is being reflected in language. We were making strides. We were making progress. We were growing as a society. And all that seems to be, attacked. As I was saying, I just wanted to say to all the people out there who are still working on dismantling these systems of oppression, in this case, the patriarchy, keep at it. Gender neutral and gender inclusive language now seems to be a revolutionary act, a very political act. And I encourage all of you to keep using neutral pronouns whenever you don't know how the person you're referring to identifies. Or if you know that the person identifies as non-binary, even more so. This seems to be the hour to rebel against these people that don't want us to grow and to change and to be better humans.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and if I could add something about Argentina, because they are also my neighbors being here in Brazil, I am rooting for Argentina. I was very sad that they elected this Trump-like figure last year. And I was reading about what they are doing there. And apparently the idea is to ban inclusive language being used in the armed forces. And I kept reading and it took me a while to really realize that, you know what, the army, the military in general is not a progressive institution, not that I can think of, like anywhere in the planet, true, any country. The most progressive institution that you can think of is almost never the military. So it occurred to me, was the military in Argentina using a lot of inclusive language to begin with? And I don't think so. We don't know for sure, but some people think that this ruling now relates to something that happened in 2019, that apparently a high-ranking official in the military in Argentina was, you know, giving a speech in an important event, and he addressed people as, I don't know the exact words, but like ladies and gentlemen and like everyone in between. He tried to be more inclusive. And apparently that was too much. And the whole reaction kind of comes from that one quote unquote incident. So as you're saying, Kiki, it's absolutely an attack. It doesn't even make any sense. It doesn't even help the conservatives in any way. It's really just a way to bump people down. And I absolutely agree with you that people being activists and fighting for that, that's the time to keep going and be strong.
So to anybody out there who's listening to this, if you don't consider yourself sexist, homophobic, and or any other sort of discriminatory behavior, but you were still refusing to use gender inclusive language, this is your chance. This is when you can stand up and be a good ally. This is where you can show what you really stand for.
So I've changed jobs, and in my new job, it's so normal for people to talk in a gender inclusive way. And it's just so nice. I've been trying to incorporate that into my own language, sometimes just failing, sometimes doing really well. So people out there are using gender inclusive language, and it's really nice, even though some people are trying to go the other way around.
And that's what matters, trying. You don't need to be perfect. You don't need to have all pronouns down. You don't need to know them all. You just have to try a little and be conscious about the times where you flip towards the generic masculine types of words. In general, the English language is neutral mostly, but I do have to be very focused, and I struggle sometimes when I speak in Spanish and German because those are very feminine and masculine. They have those differences more. But that's the thing, just try a little. And yeah. I notice as a woman when people refer to me like that as well, and I feel more included, more directly addressed. I just notice the effort, and that is really commendable.
Yep.
Okay, this is probably going to be the first and last time I'm going to talk about my gynecologist on this podcast. When you come there for the first time, you always have to fill out this sheet with all your data and all your medical questions. And the first thing on this sheet was, how do you identify and how do you want to be addressed? And I was so happy that I mentioned this to the gynecologist when I went in with her. And she's like, oh, you're the first person to say something about this. We've just implemented it recently after she read studies that it's really important for trans people, for example. But I'm in a position to change this and to do something about it. And then she educated her whole staff. And I was just so happy.
That is really cool to know when you have those kinds of experiences that actually make a difference and show people that it actually changes. It actually matters. But what we are here to talk about today, bit of a different thing, the concept of Bimbo Core. Susanna, do you want to present the topic?
My first number one positive thing to say about Bimbo Core is that at least it's a interesting topic to talk about. I like that the conversation exists. I have strong mixed feelings about Bimbo Core. The concept is, apparently it's something that is started in the fashion industry. Britney Spears, Paris Hilton, Lindsay Lohan were some of the inspiration for that. So it's kind of a callback to the 90s and early 2000s. But the idea is to take that and kind of use in a hyper exaggerated way. So it's, as a fashion statement, it's super pink, super glittery, very feminine, very delicate, making fun of how we in the 90s thought that that was so ridiculous, and bringing that back and kind of owning that and using that to say it's fine that you wear pink, it's fine to be super girly. And they do that in a kind of almost satirical way. It's kind of really exaggerated as a fashion statement. And I think what's happening is that some of that is also infiltrating the metal industry. And we have seen female musicians using that same visuals and that same idea to also talk about that in metal music. Take the hyper feminine and talk about it. Put a spotlight in that and say, you can be super feminine and metal at the same time. When you suggested that, I had no idea what bimbo core was. And it really just rubbed me the wrong way. Even the use of the word bimbo, I don't like it. So I went into reading about it with a very preconceived idea of what I was going to find. And I was already not liking it. So I really had the awesome experience of changing my mind because I was more educated about a subject. So I recommend that. Educate yourself and kind of polish your preconceived ideas. So it happened to me with Bimbo Core. I started out by just hating the whole thing. Like, the word bimbo, it's terrible. I don't want to see it. Mm-hmm. But there is a interesting side to this for sure.
There is. Marta, did you know what Bimbo Core meant before we started talking about it?
I did not at all. And I'm so happy we talked about it. I may have never discovered it otherwise. I love everything about it. But just as Susanna said, what I love most about it is that I hated it in the beginning and I challenged my own bias. Sometimes I pride myself a little in viewing myself as part of the solution, but this showed me that I am as much part of the problem as everybody else in the metal scene. I identify as a woman in metal. I've lived through some of the hardships and I was still being a terrible person about watching Bimbocore the first time. This whole scene queen concept, I didn't get it from just looking at it. So I read the article and I was like, oh wow, this is so deep. This is addressing so many of these core problems we're having, and she's going at it like head on, diving into it, making everybody uncomfortable. And I was like, this is like the essence of metal, making some people uncomfortable. But also it has a tiny little sentiment of Sleep Token. They were disrupting true metal, like metal is really hard, and then there's Sleep Token. Yeah, Sleep Token are metal too. So many people were like, no, I hate this and I don't want this. I feel like we're at the same point where people will try and be like, no, this is girl stuff. This is not metal. But yes, it is.
Also, who says that metal is not girly and metal cannot be girly or is not for girls?
Yeah, but reflecting on my past, the only pink I've had, I think I had a Caliban shirt. Caliban are a German metalcore band. It was a black shirt with a pink print. That was okay. I'm still reluctant to wear pink. Last year I had a Jigglypuff Halloween costume that was all pink, and I felt so uncomfortable. It's like, this is not metal at all. People are going to judge me. My good name in the metal scene is going to be gone when people see me in all this pink.
Marta is gonna be cancelled for wearing pink.
Yes, exactly.
I can absolutely relate because I've heard this and or talked about this with a lot of other women in metal. And this is probably relatable to the whole metal scene and metal fans. As we were just talking about in the last big episode of the podcast about inclusivity and diversity in metal, we spoke to Sarah, and I'm really happy about how the episode turned out, because it's something that I've been saying for a while, that metal is not as inclusive as it thinks it is, or the community as we think we are. And finally, we could talk about it at length. And I think metalheads, metal listeners already feel like the outcasts and the outsiders. And I think as a woman who listens to metal, we can also feel even more isolated and even more of an outsider, especially because what you were saying, Martha, and I mean, I'm not the biggest pink wearing person either, but my favorite color is purple. Purple and black. And sometimes one can feel a little bit like an imposter to want to live that femininity, but at the same time wanting to stay rad and stay mean. And I do recall when I was in my teenage years, I think I've said this before in the podcast, I do recall believing in the whole thing, but I'm not a girly girl. I'm different. I hang out with the guys. And that sentence right there is sexist. That belief is sexist because it means that you do agree with feminine things being less cool. And so in hanging out with the guys, I wanted to be cooler than the pink wearing girls and pop listening girls. That reminds me of the movie Mean Girls, which I love. And that is the stereotype of a bimbo. Yeah, the word is terrible. And the definition is a person, typically a woman, regarded as being intellectually vacuous and having an inordinate interest in appearing sexually seductive. Or, in other words, the second definition is a physically attractive woman who lacks intelligence. That is what Bimbocore reclaims, in a sense. In order to rebel inside the rebellion, because let's say the metal community or the metal scene is the rebellion against pop and mainstream music, well, now we are rebelling inside the rebellion, rebelling against the black metal corpse wearing stereotype of a metalhead, and combining it with this pink, blonde, sparkly aesthetic, but still making heavy music that can still be very intelligent and just shatter all of these stigmas and all of these preconceptions, as Susanna was saying, of metal having to necessarily be super masculine, dark, mean, evil, menacing kind of thing.
Yeah. in our collective defense here, I think that we maybe we all fell to a trap that I was reading this article about Sin Queen and I was suddenly 100% agreeing with her. What she was talking about was that when she was younger, and maybe that's the case for us, we were presented with two choices. She talks about it in the metal community, but I think it's everywhere. I was not part of the metal community when I was 12, but we are presented with two choices. If you want to be part of the metal community, you have to be like one of the guys. So you're masculine and then you're interesting. And then it's like, I'm not like the other girls. I'm not super girly, blah, blah, blah. I say that all the time as well, that I'm not super girly. But the only other choice was kind of bimbo. Was like, yeah, you're super feminine, super sexy, but oops, you don't have a brain. So honestly, I don't know how to play the super hot girl. So even if that was two choices for me, I would be like, no. I only really have one. But if I had a choice, I would choose brain. And she talks about how if you're not the masculine girl, if you're not acting like a man or dressing like a man, then you are not going to be taken seriously. So if you only have those two choices, and if you want to be taken seriously, because of course we do, and if you want to be a person with a brain, because of course we are, the only choice was to be one of the boys. And if that happens to fit your personality, because in my case, it kind of does, I don't own anything pink either. I'm not a super girly girl. My favorite colors are black and purple. So, but I'm not super girly. So that's not my personality. But I'm not super masculine either. I'm not one of the boys. It doesn't have to be binary like that. And it doesn't have to be extremes. Right? You're either masculine and respected or a bimbo that is super hot, but not taken seriously. And also something that she said about those two choices that made total sense to me was that either way, it's a masculine view about women. You're either one of them or you're sexually appealing to them. So what women want and what women consider attractive or smart or interesting is just not taken in account. So I think we all kind of felt into this trap that we wanted to be taken seriously. We wanted to be in the metal community, so we had to be one of the guys. But now it's like, it's cool to challenge that. Like, yeah, if you own a pink shirt, it's fine. And there are even so many bands now making merch that is pink and it's purple and it's so cool. And it's fine. The metal community is still alive and thriving.
Absolutely. Susanna, you put it as, oops, I don't have a brain. The thing is, you weren't allowed to have a brain. To fit this stereotype of an attractive woman, the woman you wanted to be, you could not be the smartest person in the room. We see that as well in other types of pop culture, like Legally Blonde, right? She was super smart, but she wasn't really allowed to be that smart all the time. We see this everywhere. But as you were saying, Susanna, in the very beginning, when I heard about the concept of bimbo core, I also had this first impulse of it cannot be good. If it's just making metal pink and glittery and having the artist be a super hot woman, it cannot be good. But it actually is. I am very happy to have paid attention to Scene Queen. And the article that we're talking about, I'm going to link it in the description. The headline says, Paris Hilton is a huge icon to me. Bimbocore, righteous feminism, and charcoal pits. How Scene Queen became the unlikely heroine metal needs right now. And I absolutely agree with that. We need to be challenging gender stereotypes more strongly, especially in the metal community, so that the metal community can be as inclusive as it thinks it is. We need to be addressing those topics too. And what I also found very interesting is, this is in the beginning of the article, that her single Pink Push-Up Bra is a, quote, blistering tirade against sexual abuse. And I was just listening to that song with the lyrics. And it's actually talking about a topic that affects the majority of women on Earth. And it's something very dark, scary, and terrible. But it's also something that we need to talk about. We just cannot close our eyes to these realities. And as always, with things that affect women, they affect in even more terrible measure to women of color and women with disabilities and trans women and all of the other intersections. And so it was also important to me to bring to our attention another bimbocore artist. Also, bimbocore is kind of an aesthetic. It's not musically, it's not really a genre, but it's maybe a political movement inside of metal. I'm talking about Cinnamon Babe. And I'm also going to link in the description this article from We Are the Pit. And that headline goes, Cinnamon Babe vocalist talks nu metal revival and metal purists being afraid of bimbo hot chicks and young kids taking over. And that is also a very cool quote. Cinnamon Babe is also, even more than Scene Queen, very empowered in her body and in her sexuality, and is very out there, showing a lot of skin in a very defiant way that strikes me as rebellious as well, as subversive. It doesn't want to be liked. It doesn't want to attract men. It doesn't want to be seen through the male gaze only. It's really interesting. I discovered Cinnamon Babe's music just a few months ago when someone pointed out to me her single Barbie. And the lyrics in the chorus, they go, I'm a Bratz doll, not a perfect Barbie. That is also culturally relevant because we are so used to the perfect stereotype and everyone wants to be this perfect Barbie.
Yeah, I absolutely resonate with that. And I think I take a lot of inspiration nowadays. I'm at this weird point where I am tired of this whole male stereotypic narrative. Even if new bands are coming up and they're doing the same old beer and chicks and I don't know, like this whole weird masculine stuff, I don't want that anymore. I'm so tired of it, and I take so much inspiration of this new representation of parts of myself and seeing that in music. And I remember feeling understood by Chester of Linkin Park when I was a teenager, but that's in the past. So this is what I draw inspiration and I feel represented by right now. And I enjoy this so much. Discovering these new artists, I feel a representation I've really never had. I feel empowered to embrace my femininity also on stage, because if you're an artist on stage, you always have to think about, am I being too sexy? Will I be taken seriously? How much can I dress like I want to dress without being judged too much? My bandmates, they never have that. Not at all. Sometimes I'm a little jealous of that, but these new artists, they're going to inspire me to be brave and just say, fuck that, I'll just do whatever I feel comfortable in. That's like a real positive outlook on the shows I'm going to play this year.
Hell yeah. Oh, that's so good to hear. That is something I've heard before too. I heard Charlotte Wessels, formerly from Delane, I heard her say that ages ago. I think it was during the documentary Soaring Highs and Brutal Lows. We've mentioned that documentary before in the podcast, which was about women in metal. She said that she had to put a lot of thought into what she would wear. And meanwhile, her bandmates just throw on jeans and a t-shirt. It's not only about what she wears in terms of an aesthetic or what you want to put out there visually. It's also in terms of protection. And that is also something that Charlie Rolfe from As Everything Unfolds said on the podcast as well. She was in the beginning of her career, the band is still very young, but in the beginning, she was afraid to wear dresses and skirts on stage because she didn't want people looking up her skirt. And that is just so disturbing and painful to hear, because it actually limits us, limits our freedom of expression, of life, honestly. The fact that sometimes we have to put a lot of thought into what we wear to ward off sexual predators. What also comes to mind right now is, I guess it was a TikTok trend, but I saw it on Instagram. It was called a bus shirt or something like that. It was like an oversized t-shirt that female presenting young people were wearing to public transport over their mini skirts and crop tops, because they knew, while I'm on the bus, on the subway, on the tram, there will be people either looking at me super creepily and making me uncomfortable, or even maybe trying to touch me. And that is just so disgusting. But it's all of these protection mechanisms that we have developed as women and as other marginalized groups to be able to survive that hurts so much. So I'm happy that there is now Bimbo Corps trying to fight that inside the metal scene. That was our takes on Bimbo Corps. But also on disturbing news, we read a few days ago about a band called Llorona, whose singer was kicked out of the band because he was secretly giving his bandmate estrogen in order to steal his girlfriend.
I don't even know what to say. The level of ridiculousness is so off any metric. It's really insane.
There are so many layers to that piece of news. It's very complicated, but let's split those things. Whatever his goal was, whatever he wanted to achieve with this, that's another topic. But the fact that he was giving his bandmate estrogen, so female hormones? Hormones to make him appear more feminine. That also messes with your weight, with your moods. Well, he was doing something to his bandmate's health that could be dangerous. But the fact that it was the female hormone, that's what strikes me as the most awful, because it just shows this very sexist, misogynistic thought of femininity and female beings being less than, being weaker, being less worthy, less valuable, being underneath the male standard. That is what hits me, because that thought gets deeply rooted and sends this signal of that is how I'm gonna be better than him, by making him more feminine. It's just, it baffles my mind. And it's that deeply rooted thought that is the cause of a lot of violence against women, as we were just kind of talking about. These are the power structures that we need to dismantle. These are the things in our own heads that we need to deconstruct. And yes, it's very difficult. And yes, I do it too. But it's something urgent and so necessary. And oh my God, don't try to poison your bandmates. Like, what?
Yeah, there are so many things wrong with this, as you mentioned, so yeah.
Wow. How do you even think of that? How do you even come up with something like that?
If you think that little of women, it says more about yourself than the other person. Also, the length people would go through instead of working on themselves. If that girl didn't like you, it's not because someone else was manlier or had more testosterone or whatever. Maybe you're just a shitty person. Just work on yourself. Become a better person worth being with. So go to therapy. Just become a better person.
Yeah, but, yeah, absolutely. Just become a better person. We lost Susanna along the way. Her internet broke down, but it was great while it lasted. Those were very, very good words of wisdom from you, Martha. Go to therapy and be a better human. That is something all of us can do. Some need it more than others.
That's my high age. Now I am wise. It was my birthday yesterday, so I feel wise today.
Right. Happy birthday again, Martha. We are recording this on March 1st. So Martha's birthday was just a few days ago. You will listen to this on March 12th. If you're listening on release day, in 2 weeks, we're going to publish our talk with Blind Channel. Today, March 1st, they just released Exit Emotions, their new album. So give that a listen as well. And we will hear you next time. Thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to follow and subscribe to the Bleeding Metal Podcast.
Goodbye.